Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Have you just been at the gym?
Yeah, I did.
And now you're having a beer. Does that go against your rules? No. How much on a journey are you?
I don't physically have rules. Are we recording right now?
We are.
Oh, okay. I'm not on a journey. What I've been doing is going back to old spreadsheets that my personal trainer made me in 2020. They say Eli Summer 2020, and I'm just trying
working
to
towards
them
that.
And that's it.
I don't know what is going on. I don't know if lifting heavy weights is conducive for the body type that I want, or if I just have to embrace the body type I have. I think I'm turning into like a slender. Like, I want one slender summer.
Wow.
I want to be like spooky. No, I don't want to be like thin, but I just want one summer where I'm like, oh, I look jacked. But I just turn into an absolute unit.
This could be it.
Do you think?
Yeah, we've still got time.
Stars are aligned.
Yeah.
I'm doing things about it.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got your trainer, you're ready to go.
Then I'll just let go.
Yeah.
But because I had that Celebrity Treasure Island shred, but I didn't get to enjoy the shred into summer, like, because I put on more weight than I've ever could ever possibly believe.
It's amazing how quickly it came back. I found an Instagram close friend story of me just after I got back, and it was like I'd lost 5 kgs. Also, that was when Courtney and I did our fitting for Paddy Gower Has Issues, and then the whole rest of the year we've been wearing clothes that are too tight by quite a bit. Kind of sitting there, so uncomfortable.
What a gorgeously toxic place to start the show.
Mm-hmm.
Cue theme song.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Welcome along to the Male Gaze, and I actually want to start by telling you I've really changed my mind on something that I'm sure I've disagreed with you on the pod about before.
Okay.
What
an incredible energy and gusto to come in on.
Yeah, and I'm telling you that I've come to your side, and it is on the subject of the musical artist Pink.
Wait, what?
And
what was my take there? One, she rocks. Too, she'd be amazing to see live.
Yeah, basically, you told me she's a goddess and a legend, and I said she's responsible for some of the worst popular music of all time, and also, like, I feel like you never meet a Pink person, and yet she is infinitely popular. Crazy.
You meet so many Pink people.
I've never, like, you and Alison are the only people I know who are, like, enthusiastic about Pink.
The Royal Highness, the Scandal Queenie herself. You can't tell me her entire personality is based off that musical artist.
That's true. God, obsessed with JJ, her boyfriend, and Dom's Halloween.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh,
I need what has come to you about Pink. And also, we need to acknowledge my husband's walked through the door.
Hi, Michael.
He's also been at the gym.
What part of, were you at a class?
I was at strength development.
Strength development.
Oh, nice one, King.
He's going to make himself a protein shake. So you'll probably hear that in the back. And that's everyday queer lives.
Mm.
So for you kind of allies or homophobes who are like kind of using this podcast.
What are they up to?
You can hear this and go, oh, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Do you think there are homophobes listening to this pod being like, I'm going to hear what they're up to and I'm going to expose them?
I reckon you'd listen to this and be like, I don't know what the big old fuss is about.
Yeah, sounds boring. So I just got a new protein shake that's a s'mores flavor, which I thought would be yum. It's actually yuck.
S'mores. So the taste of toasted
biscuits with marshmallow and chocolate in them.
And a bit of marshmallow.
But
so
your
thoughts.
The pee comes through.
When did the Pink penny drop?
So there's been a song that's been hitting the airwaves.
Okay.
Called Trustfall.
Okay.
And it keeps playing. And I've been like, this is a jam. And I've been, and I don't recognize her voice instantly. So I was like, I wonder who this song's
young
by.
Artist is.
Yeah, I wonder who this cool new artist is that's singing. And also like, something so iconic to me about taking something. You know when someone names a song after something that we all know, but there's never been a song about it before. And you're like, wow, a song about trust falls.
Deja vu, that's happened.
Olivia Rodrigo.
I'm just trying to think of other versions of that. Whiplash.
Who's done a, no one's done a Whiplash song.
Take it.
Yeah. Acid Reflux. Where's the song? Anyway, God, trust
that's a really good idea.
Yeah. An Acid Reflux song.
No, just like being like, fucking, I don't know. Neck, you know, bed aches.
Yeah.
Back pain. And then just going from there.
And in the trust fall spectrum, you could be like, oh, that parachute game you play as kids. Maybe you do something with like that.
Bring it back, hey.
Meet inside the parachute.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I've been really getting into the song. And then simultaneously, I've also seen, of course, on TikTok, the video where she flies across the stadium. And I've thought, I've got to get one of those tickets to see her at Eden Park.
I haven't
Park
booked
next
yet.
March.
But yeah. I was going to go with my pink pal.
Pink pal. Pink posse.
My pink posse, Alice Sneddon. Because we went last time and we just had the time of our lives.
I remember, yeah.
And I'm thinking she might not be around. It's February next year, right, at Eden Park.
You think Pink's going to die?
No, Alice won't be here. Oh, Alice, I think she might be moved back to the UK. It's a bit, I'm like, I think I would go on my own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if Michael would come with me.
Mm.
Maybe? Would you want to come to Pink?
I think I want to see her fly.
He wants to see her fly.
Yeah, good.
See, everyone wants to see, because it's just like no one else can do that.
No one, there's not a single other pop star who's doing that.
Beyonce is amazing, like, you know, but she's on a horse fly, like she's not rotating in the, it's just unbelievable
and,
stuff.
And part of that is because she wouldn't want to, and I respect that.
Aesthetically, she's got a bit more, you know, her taste is a little slightly more refined.
I'm also seeing myself at the concert and she does Trust Fall and I'm kind of standing up and really getting into it and everyone else is sitting down because it's kind of like one of her newer songs that no one else is into. Which definitely happened to be at the Killers concert because I got into like one of the recent Killers albums. They released one during the pandemic that I would go running to every day. So all of those songs, I was like, this one's really good. And then the people beside you were like, I mean, maybe.
Well, we'll go together.
Yeah, I'd love to.
And I don't know if there's someone who's listening who would be able to hook us up with seats. What I would be, in terms of where I would want to sit.
Go? Oh, concert. Have you been to an Eden Park concert?
No.
I'm hyped to see a concert at Eden Park.
And then to be Pink would be unbelievable.
It could be so good.
I think it's like usually a local artist who does Eden Park for some reason, like 660.
Yeah.
But to have like an international act at Eden Park, I'm just like, I've goosebumps at the thought. But where I'd want to sit is not up in the stands or not in the front row. I would want to stand in the crowd in the, roughly the same place where she did this trick last time, where she hovers above you and then plummets down. You could almost touch her hand.
Yeah.
And I have never reached for anything more in my life. I was like,
then you
Pink,
reach for
touch
Pink.
Me. Like, I was just, something came over me. It was unbelievable.
You went GA for Pink last time.
Hell yeah.
Sick.
You got to. Because you want to dance. You want to dance and sing and wave your hands up
what
in the air.
What sort of moves do you do to a Pink song?
Like
kind of fist
punk.
Bumps. Yeah.
You know those devil horns. So wow. I'm still na 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 na. You got that energy coming out of you.
It's so fun. Like even just you doing that small bit of the song.
Great, made you cringe.
It makes me want to puke a little bit. But then,
what the
but
fuck
I'm also like, but
wrong
it is a jam. I don't know.
I'm going to start a fight. It's just, it's, and the way that there's your inner saboteur, like there's also your sort of inner freak, and Pink ignites my inner freak.
I actually can't to watch you say that.
Hey, congratulations on your award.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
So what's it like to go, so Eli won an, I'm gonna guess actually, so yeah. It was an award at Canterbury University.
University of Canterbury.
University of Canterbury.
You see.
For famous alumni who have gone on and done great things. And you, if in the English and Classics department, or thereabouts.
Wow, you're way off the mark.
Was it just for university and as a whole?
Okay, well, are you picking my award or what the whole ceremony was about?
What the whole ceremony was about.
Wow, no, you're way off.
What was that?
It was the inaugural UC alum,
inaugural
first time they've done it.
Heaven.
UC Young Achievers Award.
Wow.
So they picked five graduates in five different fields. The fields were international.
Oh. In the field of international. That aisle of the supermarket.
Rising Star.
Were you a Rising? No.
No, there was one that was maybe something like Community.
Okay.
And then there was one that was like Tech. And then I got Creative Industries. Ugh, but it really was like, there was this amazing girl beside me, Julia. She worked at Hewlett Packard in London, worked really high up, and is now back here, started an organization to get more Pacifica people working in tech. Like, and every person was doing amazing. There's this girl who lives in Geraldine, but she's working on kind of like the next generation of food that's going to feed the planet, you know, like changing the agricultural sector. And then it was like, and Eli was on Dancing with the Stars. You know, it literally felt like that. Also, there was for under 35s. Oh, hello.
Oh, I got a text. Can you believe it or not?
That's crazy, the tone.
Under 35s.
So I'm scraping in with... I mean, I should work out the almost the exact days, I reckon. I could be able to work this out. like, less than 50 days between me turning 35 and being ineligible for the award and me winning the award.
Oh, my God. And... first of all, a couple of things.
Please.
Enough of Young Achieving Awards.
Oh, yeah. You do want some Old Achiever.
I'm just like, why are we putting that on ourselves? Because I feel like we... It sort of reinforces this narrative of being like, you've done so much considering how old you... How young you are. This is like, you know what? Give someone... If someone is 40 and they're fucking killing it...
Give them an award.
Give them an award. Stop being like, and you're only... And you're only 12, you know, like, I'm just done with that narrative.
Yeah. Also, it really creates a internal idea of, like, I've got to get some good stuff done before I'm, you know, 25, 30, 35.
In fact, I reckon it's more of an achievement to be doing something impressive later in life.
Yes, because when you're young, people are like, oh my gosh, what a talent.
You've got energy.
Yeah.
You want to, like, break things down, build things up. Like, you've got, like, chutzpah. Whereas when you're older, there's temptation.
Yeah, do you know what no one says to me these days? God, you're talented. No one.
Hey, God, you're talented.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, the temptation when you're, like, hitting the 30s is to give up.
Yeah.
Is to coast and is to get comfy. And then that's when it's impressive.
The UC Alumni You Kept Going Award.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
For 35 and up.
Yeah, for 35 plus.
And my second thing was, I noticed on your Instagram that none other than Kim Hill was presenting the awards.
We've got to get into this.
So can you please, I have had the honor of being interviewed by her one-on-one.
Yeah.
And said yes. And prepped like I've never prepped before. Mm-hmm. Like, made sure I had a good like night's sleep because I was like, "What is this energy going to be one on one?" Like, I was in the room with her. Mm. She's got a very peculiar energy. What is she like in that space?
So full on and like the same energy.
I just was like, "What an amazing Halloween costume!"
Oh my gosh, her look is incredible, and the way she kind of like, I hate to use this reference. She does look like a Harry Potter professor.
Yes,
I'm sorry to say it.
No, that's
but that's
fine.
The only thing you could.
Why are
as.
You embarrassed about that? Because it's
millennial. J.K. Rowling.
Oh, it's a turf. Yeah, right.
Anyway, she plays with her hair a lot while she's emceeing, and I like
just sort of
hair,
putting her hand through it. Or something.
She was really funny. Just before the show, she said she'd rant. She was like, I never watched TV, but I did watch your show the other day. And I did think she was talking about Treasure Island, but she was talking about Patty Gow's show. Oh, of course. And she watched the menopause episode. And then I was talking. So, like, we covered menopause on the show. And one of the things they talked about was, like, whether women should get menopause leave, whether that should be a thing that's built in. Which, interestingly, is something that kind of like, I guess as like a male feminist, you're like, yes, of course, we should do that. But then a lot of women, and Kim was one of them who talked about this, she was like, well, do we want menopause leave and then maternity leave and then all these reasons for people to not hire women because it is this like gesture, which sounds nice, but then in practice, is that going to lead to?
Wow.
And she really was going in with me about that beforehand.
And well, you were like...
And I was like,
I hear you, and I don't want to like, and I don't want to speak for you.
Yeah, and I was like, and actually, in the show, I just kind of sit with a side on a desk and make a couple of jokes,
but like six good jokes,
six
you know,
good jokes, and then I'm done. Like I have like 4 minutes of screen time max.
Eli Matthewson, I just love her energy.
And then she did. a panel. So we I saw that, given an award. We did a speech, and then
and is it a cup? Is it a jewel?
It's a glass thing, and I'm getting my brother-in-law to make a base because otherwise it will fall and break so quickly.
And there's quite a few awards stacking up for you. I think I'm just sort of starting to think about that on your little
two
in your office.
Oh, I've got a fringe award that actually is broken. So I
and I've noticed you're one of those guys that will frame the degree.
The degree.
On the wall, which I always like. I think the University of Cambridge would appreciate that as well.
Of course. As a young alumni.
I don't know where my degree is.
I fished it out. I got it because I did a show about my degree and I got it framed to put on stage for the show.
That's good.
But it is quite present in my house and I kind of want to hide it.
Really? I think it's a perfectly appropriate thing to have in the back of a Zoom call.
Yeah, but I just don't, like, in terms of my office space, I quite like them in the toilet.
That's a good idea.
And actually, I was looking up, we've got little shelves above our toilet, and I was actually like, maybe I should put the Fred Award right here.
Or the boot in the toilet.
Because on my bookshelf, it looks crazy and it doesn't really fit.
I think you're allowed one kind of novelty, goofy space in your house. I think it's, and I do think a toilet is a good place for that to be, but that I don't like the idea of like the hygiene issue of that. But
shit getting in the gumboot.
Yeah,
just shit.
Exactly.
Little bits of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get into you're a bit of a spooky queen, but you didn't get to do Halloween this year.
It was very sad because there was a Halloween party over the weekend. We were away, and then tonight, this very night is actually...
Hallowed Eve.
Yeah, probably why the podcast has been so spooky so far.
Yeah, you would have noticed.
It was very creepy.
We're doing this podcast on pumpkins.
Yeah. And we've cut our guts open.
Yeah, exactly.
We were going to do... huge plan. It was mainly Sam's plan, but we wanted, because our neighborhood gets quite into it.
I'd imagine it would.
The burbs. On a side note, if you see me out and you feel the impulse to come towards me and tell me you know where my house is,
yeah,
I actually don't want to hear
that. You don't want to hear that?
So many people.
Well, you shouldn't have done a Woman's Day article where you sat on your letterbox.
The number's not visible, is it?
I don't know. I remember the shot, though. It probably is.
Sometimes I'll meet the most random person. They'll be like, by the way, I figured out where you live. And then I'm like, okay.
I had that a bit in my old house, which I shot a lot on my phone. And I was like, I'm starting to get a bit weird about this.
Yeah.
One time someone asked to get she was like, can you sign my book for me, please? And I was like, absolutely. Thanks for buying a copy of the book.
I love the character. Can you sign my book for me, please?
So the energy she brought. And then... I was away or whatever. I was like, I'll meet you at... I said my house by that point. I'd just totally given up. And then I was late to meeting her. So she was in my house with my flatmate and
waiting
I wasn't
for the
there.
Book to be signed.
Yeah. I think I'm being too open here.
Yeah. I think people should be in your house when you're not there. But our burb is spooky, right? And we've got a little fountain.
What do you mean by spooky? Like getting into the spooks?
Yeah. Like a lot of houses.
Oh yeah.
Dolled up in the spook vibes.
Yeah.
And we had a big plan because we just went for a walk last Halloween and had a look around at who was doing it. And then we did think, lots going on, a few goodies, but we could be the best. And that was one of our goals at the start of the year, was to basically have three witches around our fountain kind of stirring a cauldron and maybe dye the water green.
Yeah, I love that.
Unfortunately...
You got an award.
I got an award, so I wasn't here for Halloween. But then tonight is actually the night that kids are trick-or-treating.
We've got a podcast.
Thank God you're listening to living in an apartment, right? I don't have to worry about it.
Not a single knock on the door. I thought you buzzed in. I thought, oh, bloody hell. Trick-or-treaters. They've worked out my code.
Imagine these trick-or-treaters are sitting at the bottom of the apartment. They're starting with 101.
And working their way up.
Like, trick-or-treat.
I would love
and
it.
Back out. Yeah. Call 102.
102 in. Up the elevator. Down the elevator. I think it's dedication to it.
Yeah, that's fun.
I think I like the energy of Halloween. I like the idea of running around and knocking on doors. I actually was Googling a rushed fact of the gay if you want to hear it.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so here we go. Fact of the gay. This fact of the gay is that, and you've probably already done it, but the author of Dracula... Do you know who that is?
Bram Stoker.
Was suspected to be a closeted homosexual.
Tell me more.
Well, that's all I've got kind of... It sort of hit it up twice when I Googled it. And then, you know, this little bit, when you look at Google, when you write Bram Stoker gay, ?
Yeah.
Firstly, it was worth noting that it was believed that Bram Stoker was a closeted homosexual. It was believed he had a secret relationship with Oscar Wilde.
Oh,
and
of
when
course.
Wilde was, when Wilde was arrested for sodomy. I mean, you didn't have to put that detail in there, did you?
No. God, the word sodomy.
I kind of love it.
Really?
Don't you?
Would you ever use it in like a...
the bedroom?
Yeah, bit of or a text? A bit of sodomy tonight?
I like the idea of being a sodomite.
Yeah, that sounds fierce. it sounds like a superhero team.
Or a bit of sod? Like for short?
No, sod sounds too much like sog. Sog sounds like...
I think it's worth reclaiming. Okay. I've worked hard on... what I've noticed in stand-up is that you can ruin a joke with using queer as a catch-all over gay as a catch-all.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, all my friends are gay, and I get a laugh. This is like, all my friends are queer, and you get like
a finger click.
A finger click. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, what are some other like sort of words that I can use that I could sort of reclaim? And I feel like poof. Gets like
I love puff,
and I think puff better than fag. You know, like puff is something I don't know. Fag sometimes goes down like a cup of cold sick with the audience.
Yeah,
even though it's like reclaim the word, I'm like, let's reclaim puffter.
I use puffter in one of my in a joke that I used to do, and like literally, probably wrote it in 2014, and then did it for yonks, and then was like, I need to stop doing that joke, and now I've just started putting back in it. Does have the word puffter, and I love it.
I love it. What's the origin of that word? Do you know?
Do you think the furniture item of puff came before puff?
That's such a good question. Yeah. And that's probably all I'm going to ask Google. Mm. What came first, the ottoman or the gay? Hold on, puff.
What? We just used to, in our drama class at high school, there were just like two puffs to use, and we did just use the word puff.
It's a funny word.
The weather has really taken a
turn. Is it raining out there?
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I wondered if that was the kettle, but it's the rain. Or, okay.
I'm parked quite far away from your house as well, so I'm here for the night.
Okay, I have Googled puff. What? Puff. What first, the Ottoman or gay?
Yeah, please.
And what has come up is LGBT in the Ottoman Empire, which I don't want to read. Fucking hell.
LGBT in the Ottoman... No, that's not right.
Origin of puff. Autobiography? No, written itself? Like
Chris Parker's 2024 comedy show. Origin of puff.
God, it's written itself. Are there any other slurs that you like? Gay slurs.
I like faggot. I think it's funny, and I love using it in a self-deprecating way. I love being like when I screw up, being like, God, what a stupid faggot.
Oh, I love it. Okay, Merriam-Webster. That's worth... That'd be a
great drag name. Great
God,
drag name.
God, it's all coming out today.
Do you know, I thought of it. You know, this was an old segment that we had to retire. And barely a segment, but I used to pitch you drag names on the pod. I did think of an amazing one recently.
Yeah, go on.
Which is Manny Petty.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Actually, Michael and I had one yesterday as well. Manny Petty's perfect.
Manny Petty's gorgeous.
And man is in the title.
Yeah.
Michael.
He's on the balcony.
Oh.
In the rain.
Oh, that's beautiful.
On his laptop.
Oh, he's sitting on his laptop. It's quite sad, isn't it?
I love it.
Okay, puff, Merriam-Webster, please welcome to the stage. Etymology, no. Oh, I'm not smart enough to work this out. Oh, fuck this shit, hey. Who gives a fuck?
So, a real flaw of our podcast is that we do no prep work, and then we try and Google something quite lofty, and then...
It falls apart at the seams, isn't it?
Very hard to explain.
We almost didn't record an episode, hey?
It was very hard to scrape it in this week. I am having a hell week at work...
Yeah,
you ambitiously said to me that you were doing the project till 7:30, and then
running to ballet class as well.
A ballet class that finished at 8, and I was like, "What are you going to do? Like two poses?"
Out of my mind, just like that. I mean, welcome to my brain. I'm just like, forget immediately that I'm doing the project, and I'm like, I'm going to go to ballet class.
How's your ballet?
It's good. It's really good. I love it. It's so nice just to do. Yeah, like I'm just into this. Chapter of doing stuff for the sake of joy and pleasure. I think
yeah.
every year at for Christmas, we do a Christmas ornament making competition with my family. So when we do our Christmas.
I thought you said Christmas ottoman. Oh. I was like, God, wow. Christmas ambitious. Both. Everyone
cloth.
In the family makes an ottoman. An ottoman.
Yeah. You just have to cover it. You don't have to. You can find one off my Facebook Marketplace and cover it. And I was like, maybe we'll just, Michael and I were just thinking we might just do it for us this year because we don't get to do it with my family because we're doing Michael's family's Christmas this year.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was like, it would be fun just to do that crafting exercise again because I love it. Like, I love kind of coming up with a wee project, tipping away.
That's so fun.
And sort of bringing out something brilliant.
Can I say, I kind of want to do ballet as well since you started doing
it. Yeah, absolutely.
You're doing an intermediate class the way, so I would definitely be going
come
in
to
beginners.
The,
I would be going in at beginners.
I'll do the beginners with you. Mm, okay. I'll just tack on the advanced afterwards.
I did one.
I'm easily the worst in the advanced class by a country mile.
Nice. I did an at-home one like on Les Mills Online, and my legs felt incredible. Like, I was like, I think my legs are the biggest legs in the world.
It's an amazing feeling. It's I'm just, when you said online, I was just like, oh, I just suddenly got that pang of anxiety of me trying to force myself into enjoying an online workout.
Yeah.
I'm so They're glad miserable. That's over. I'm so glad that's over.
I remember when I was living with Laura Daniel, you guys, you know, you love her. And she was doing like, because she goes to, I actually don't know what if it's BFT or it's like one of those fitness classes. And they were doing like the same kind of challenges they were doing, but online. And she was so committed to it, which was amazing. But I was like, God, never.
Never. I was doing a few kind of group workouts online. And I'm just, I actually just don't even want to go back there. I just don't even want to think about it.
Yeah.
It was peak misery.
There's so much stuff to do with COVID that I think of now. And I think, I can't believe we all did that.
It's like being in the closet.
It was like being
like
in
you're
the
like,
closet.
We worked so hard to convince ourselves that we were happy there. Mm-hmm. Like I actually love the time that I get to bake this bread while being on a call with my boss. Mm-hmm. And I can do my exercising at home and it's working.
Yeah, and on Friday nights, I have this group Zoom with all of my friends. And all of us are uncomfortable and it takes too long. But it's a real treat
for
the week.
God. It's actually horrific, eh?
It was, yeah. I think I went through, there were sometimes last year when I got like pangs of nostalgia, I would be like, oh, that was kind of lovely, kind of settled. And then this year I've been like, no, wait, you've had enough time to process.
It's going to be so crack up soon, eh? Like when, like, because now we're like, oh, COVID's going around or whatever, and we're not sort of freaking out about it.
I haven't changed anything about my lifestyle, even though literally all the people around me are getting COVID.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But like, I think what are we going to be like in 10 years? I don't know. We're just going to be lolling our butts off about that.
Honestly, wouldn't be surprised if there was another pandemic before then.
Did you have any plan of dressing up as anyone for Halloween?
Yeah, I had this costume. Sam was going to be Hugh Grant in Notting Hill and I was going to be Julia Roberts in the scene where she has spilled her orange juice down her front.
Oh.
And she goes into the bookstore. It's how they meet.
Fabulous.
That's really good, eh?
Fabulous.
Sam then had another better idea. He may use this another time, but you know what? I'm going to let it out to the world. He was going to go as him from the Powerpuff Girls.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, which was really
That's
good.
Amazing really, as well. Really good. Yeah. I like when they're scary. Yeah. I went as a vampire this year.
I saw.
And I gotta say, there was something kind of like relaxing about it. Because I think if when you do the like, I'm, you know, this hyper specific niche reference that no one understands, then you just, there's the anxiety of like, I'm gonna have to explain myself all night to people at the row, and like, and I don't really look like anything.
The most fun I've had on a Halloween was when I just was like, I'm going as the devil.
Yeah.
And I just went it's as free. The devil.
I just was like, oh, we'll do the scary, gaunt face. I'll put the teeth in. I'll have like a, you know, like a cape in a way, and I was sort of dressed a bit cool and like that was that pink freak.
Yeah. That,
impulse in me let it out.
I was looking at Billie Eilish's costume.
Who was she?
Well, I think generic cowgirl. Because I looked at it the first time and I was like, I think she's being Jessie from Toy Story. And then I looked closer. And it's a pretty shitty costume. And I was like, I think she's just being cowgirl.
A lot of pressure as a celebrity.
Oh, to, I can't imagine.
Like, you know what's interesting is like, you know, they have, like, if they did a shit Halloween costume, they'd get called out for it. Mm. But like, they're better to either just not, but we're not looking at them regardless, I guess is what I'm thinking. Like,
yeah.
You're never like, I wonder what Channing Tatum went as for Halloween. But no. If he did pop up in a shit costume, you'd be disappointed.
You'd hear about it as well. Yes. They'll be talking about it.
You're like, well, what a wasted opportunity.
Do you know what I thought was a bit cooked? Well, maybe it's not cooked. I feel like maybe it's cooked that I'm interested in it. So I'm calling myself out for being cooked. Kourtney Kardashian.
Dressed as Kim.
In this moment where she was pregnant with and with Kanye. And don't Kourtney and Kim hate each other? And then I was looking at it, I was like, is she trolling Kim in this
outfit?
Do
you know the story behind that?
No.
Oh, it's amazing.
Please film it. Please film it. Okay.
Oh my God. Okay, so.
They hate each other, right?
Because. So Kourtney had. Oh my God, this is ridiculous. Okay, so Kourtney had a Dolce & Gabbana wedding.
Mm.
Blanket statement, yes. Dolce & Gabbana are absolutely cooked. Like, they are, like, weirdly homophobic. Bad.
Yes, I didn't
and
know
so
that.
It's very weird that everyone, like, the Kardashians are suddenly all D and G, but anyway. Mm. And so then Kim, very shortly after the wedding, did, like, a brand deal with Dolce, did, a Dolce X Kim runway thing. They started dressing her. And so Kourtney's whole narrative this season of Kardashians, which I actually haven't watched, and I'm kind of excited for it, although I'm supposed to be boycotting Disney, I guess. Is that Kim is
the way you whacked me on the knee.
Whacked you on the knee. Oh, we've got a boycott Disney. Is that Kim was stealing Kourtney's looks. So Kourtney has stolen an iconic look from Kim.
Oh, I see.
It's a way of being
so she is trolling her.
It's just they are trolling us. In a way, because they're like. And that's the weird thing about it is like that whole thing about their beef is like they always turn it back in a way to make themselves more popular. But I'm like,
yeah.
Then this isn't real beef because if you were truly mad, you'd be silent on this issue.
Because it was like when I heard about the rumors that they hated each other and that was like they secretly hated each other. This has been going on for years. And then it was this, I saw the trailer for the season and I was like, oh, was that all just a teaser campaign?
I would love to live in your mind in terms of like your proximity to the Kardashians and how much you care about it. Like, I love that you're like, what's going on here? That's all I need to know.
I think basically, I worked at the Edge for a year.
Yes.
So for that year, I really knew what was going on.
Yes. You were keeping up.
But my knowledge ends December 2022. And I have not kept up.
And it
in
doesn't
any
even
way.
Fucking matter. It doesn't matter. But it is sort of fun to have that kind of trivial. We'll probably find out soon what Kim will go for ads for Halloween.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
I guess.
Do we know what Heidi Klum did?
That's what I keep waiting for, but I guess their Halloween is tomorrow night.
Yeah.
This is the thing with Halloween. It's like there's the weekend.
There's the weekend or...
And I'm like, put it on the Saturday night. Like, yeah. So,
how was the party?
It was good. It was fun. It was
cool.
What I love about Halloween parties is that everyone's sort of navigating their costumes, like kind of battling the teeth while being like, how's work going? And sipping from their pals came up being like, because they've got fangs in or like they've got their head in a big bit of cardboard and they're just trying to talk to you normally. Mm. And that stuff cracks me out.
That stuff is fun.
So everyone was sort of struggling with costumes. And then there was a bit of a tension because we couldn't get the music loud enough.
That's hard.
And then we found a big speaker, Joseph Moore brought in a big speaker with flashing lights.
He would have that.
You see one of those speakers, you're like, we're saved.
Mm.
Then we plugged in Michael's phone, so Michael suddenly becomes DJ.
Yeah.
Ignite the dance floor.
Hell yeah.
She did invest in a smoke machine.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
In the whole house. You couldn't see where you were going. It was so smoky. It was like being in a house fire and the fire alarms kept going off in the bedrooms.
It's kind of so funny to buy a smoke machine for your house party.
I loved it.
In your 30s, you know? I really do admire that.
I really appreciate the vulnerability and bravery to throw a house party.
Oh, it's incredible. We've been meaning to have a housewarming for a year and a half.
I think it's up there with being as brave as writing a poem and posting it online.
Yeah.
Or singing earnestly. To like, they dressed the house up. They were like, it was like happy hello fucking ween and like. Wait, I think I put the fucking in the wrong place. Happy fucking Halloween.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Not hello fucking ween. Mm. Yeah, and like there was like a dead body and they like put like a prop in the bed that looked like a human. And they'd really like dress. It was like being in Spookers.
What was the top costume? I feel like I didn't see enough of it on Instagram. And it was one of those times where I was like, not enough people are posting.
I think people were enjoying the moment.
Having too much of a good time, yeah.
There were some great costumes. There was Lisa Marie Presley.
Fun.
Which felt like
R.I.P.
But like this generation's like, it's like sort of the Diana Stans.
Went to Lisa Marie Presley.
Wait, is she the daughter or is she the wife?
The daughter of.
Okay, who's that? Oh, there was
Priscilla Presley.
Priscilla Presley.
There you go. Because I was like,
but there was also a Lisa Marie.
Lisa Marie to Diana, but Priscilla maybe.
There's like, I feel like. Because we're getting at the Priscilla movie.
I can't wait for Priscilla.
I feel like it's that sort of Diana girly sort of is leveling up to a Priscilla stan. Mm. There was your classic like pad. Someone like has a sanitary pad with blood on. You know, it's like
classic.
It's an age old.
Yeah.
Someone in a hazmat suit with like a full mask and gloves on. And I thought they're going to be really hot.
Yeah. Were they going as the people who gave the Emmys to the Emmy winners that time they did the Emmys on?
And then just like a lot of things that may be like, I don't know what that is, but I know it's a reference of something.
I know it's a costume.
Exactly.
I just remembered as well, we were talking that my best Halloween costume was not.
No, I know exactly what it was.
It was when I did the full Robbie Williams music video, which was when I co-hosted a party with Alison Edlin.
And I think that harks back to our last kind of good point of this podcast, this episode, is that a party always needs a little event or a little stunt.
Yes,
and I appreciate when those happen. And for Alice and her Halloween party, it was like this, they had like set up a trap. It was like a haunted house.
That is cool.
And I just like a little offering, a little moment, a topless waiter, a game or what have you.
So that was what we were referencing is I dressed as Robbie Williams in the three stages of the Rock DJ music video and we did the video.
It was unbelievable.
That was really fun. That was definitely one of that was a life highlight. That was a career highlight for me as a performer.
It was exceptional.
Before we go,
Queen of the week.
I've got two people in my mind, one straight, one gay.
Interesting. Mm. Can we hybrid them?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Okay. I'll go for the straight person first because they're probably not deserving. But they are deserving. They did a great job.
Ken Hill.
No, I love it. Will Jordan, my new favorite athlete, who's in the All Blacks and almost got a record. He was almost going to have the most tries in the Rugby World Cup.
Don't you love watching Aaron Smith scream in those scrums?
Yes.
Like, I don't know what it is, but it's so high pitched.
Did you see the video of him with his son? His son came on the field and said he was proud and he loved him, daddy, like after they lost it. I was like,
what a crazy game.
Yeah.
My big observation about rugby, it's two teams working together to play a game against people in an office trying to stop the game from happening.
Yeah.
I was like, what? And they're like, oh, these fucking rules. I can't believe it. I was like, well, you wrote them.
I know.
And they keep blaming the people in the box. I'm like, well, none of this matters. So get rid of the fucking box if you want to enjoy it.
The box just needs to go.
Like,
maybe.
Why are you being so angry about it?
I was thinking about, you know, when we play indoor netball, and I say as if we do that regularly, we'd last did that in 2021 maybe, but but sometimes there'd be like, I don't know, the equivalent of like a knock on or whatever they have, and so the referee's like, calls it, they're like, whatever it was, knock on, and then they're like, oh, play on, you know, like,
just play on, just get on with it.
You just keep going. Okay, here's my real queen of the week. I love Troye Sivan's new album, and I don't know if we've done it before, but I would love to anoint Troye Sivan with Queen of the Week. I think it's really, really good.
I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Who was the other person?
Will Jordan. It was, and that's mainly because I think he's
hot,
so beautiful.
Don't know which one he is yet.
I was for work. I was watching an interview with him, and then I was like, "Why has no one told me about this man?"
Yeah, it can go to Troye Sivan. What I will say is I don't know if I would like to watch him dance live.
Really?
Because I don't know if that... I like that he's doing dancing.
Yeah.
I like that the music videos are physical. I don't know if he's the most exceptional dancer to watch.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. He's putting in the work.
Yes.
And I think in,
God,
in the concert,
do you remember when Lord danced at the Grammys? Do you remember that?
That was one of
And she didn't sing?
The worst things that's happened to me.
She came out of that alive.
That was crazy, hey? Yeah, and we don't bring it up
that
enough.
That was one of the most...
There's so much Lord discourse and we barely ever talk about that.
I'm going to watch that as soon as we hang up.
That was... We're not on the phone.
No, but like, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. That was...
That was insane.
And she was wearing a weird little party dress.
It was really weird. Actually, that would be a great Halloween costume.
Lord, the performance which you just did.
And then you do the performance.
That's really good. 2024, that's
I'm bringing
you.
It back.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything you want to leave our listeners on?
Oh, I was like, I watched the Taylor Swift Eras Tour and I was going to ask you if you'd seen it. And then
no, should okay. I go?
I reckon.
Okay, great.
And then we can talk about it on the pod.
I'll do it next week.
Gorgeous. What did I just...
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
That's been The Male Gaze and our episode on Halloween and kind of being 30 and going to parties.
Yeah.
Over and out. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.